Welcome back to Romanticy, a podcast created by Dipsy. I'm your host and the CEO and co-founder of Dipsy, Faye Keegan. Dipsy is the app for audio romance. We craft all these stories in-house, and all are available right now on the Dipsy app. On this podcast, we are releasing a small set of our huge library of stories. You can get a taste of what Dipsy is and see if it's right for you. This week, we are starting a new series, a new Romanticy series. We'll be releasing a few episodes here, but again, the rest of the series is available right now on Dipsy and many more series like it. This week, we are listening to episode 1 of Night School. This series holds a very special place in my heart because it is the first series we ever did that had non-human or fantasy characters. This series heralds the introduction of the very first vampire into the Dipsyverse. At Dipsy, in advance of the creation of this series, we had a lot of internal debates about what it is that makes vampires so sexy and how we could amplify and bring to life those elements in this series. The number one thing that we think makes vampires sexy is their obsession with you. All of my Twilight girlies will remember the formative experience of reading the scenes where Edward Cullen can't even bear to sit in the same room as Bella because she smells so good. He's so obsessed with her. He can't decide if he wants to date her or eat her as kind of the core element of vampire lore and the attraction of this particular kind of paranormal creature. The other element of vampires that feels crucial to their sexiness as a concept is this inherent danger that they possess, that you are not only a woman in the presence of a man, but you're a woman in the presence of a man who might use your blood for sustenance. I think that second one, that danger element, is partially what makes the vampire romance genre so controversial. There are certainly some people on the team who love it, love the vibes, who were raised on Twilight, and some that really don't get it and think it's all good, all fun and games, but certainly not for them. If you are someone who is intrigued by the genre or super deep on the genre of vampires, this series, Night School, is the one for you. As a reminder, the rest of this series and episodes that we're actually not going to release here on this podcast are available right now on Dipsy. You can use code Romanticy at dipsystories.com to get 30 days free. That's dipseastories.com/romanticy to start your 30 days free. So here it is, episode 1 of Night School.
The fog was thick tonight, late summer in the Pacific Northwest, and I could already feel winter approaching. My stomach clenched as I approached the history building. Was I nervous? I couldn't totally tell, but the rules that Nicholas Whitlock sent me before our first meeting were so bizarre that I had every intention of refusing to be his research assistant. Surely the department could find another professor for me to help, someone who didn't insist on meeting after 7 p.m., and I'm taking notes by hand. I knew I needed to see Whitlock for myself, though, before asking to be reassigned. Even if he did turn out to be a diva, his work on Eastern European folktales was unlike anything else I'd read. I'd always wondered if all the other stuff about him was just rumors. People said he'd been kicked out of Oxford, that his teaching style was non-traditional. But I just had this deep feeling I needed to find out for myself.
All right, Whitlock, open up.
Ah, Helena. Hello.
Hi. Should I...
yes, please, come in. Can I make you a cup of tea?
That'd be great. Thanks.
His office felt welcoming, even though it was chilly inside. Overly air-conditioned, maybe. And Whitlock looked younger than I'd expected, with a thick head of dark hair. Stubble on his sharp jawline. For someone who stayed up through the night, he seemed energetic.
Is chamomile okay?
Do you have anything caffeinated?
Of course. Thanks for bearing with the late meeting, by the way. My schedule's won me a few foes, but I work best this way.
Yes, I've gathered. Your reputation precedes you, you know.
Ah, fine with me. As long as I can get my work done.
I get that.
Here you are, Earl Grey. I hope that's acceptable.
That's perfect. Thanks.
A bit of a non-secretaire. But I'm curious. Have you read much about the Rizalki? The water-dwelling women who lure men in and drown them?
By entangling them in their long, odorous hair, yeah. I'm familiar with their mythology.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, most of the texts on them focus on their similarities to other common cultural folklore. You know, mermaids, sirens, all that. But if I'm being totally honest, I think that's a bit of a lazy equivalency. The stories of these creatures, I mean, were essentially born out of women being mistreated. Then the stories allowed them to seek revenge on the men who mistreated them.
Yeah.
It's like myth rewriting reality, much more than mermaids. No offense to mermaids, of course.
I'm in complete agreement with you.
You are?
Oh, very much so. My favorite part of this work is how these stories we think of as myth are derived from truth.
Yes.
Often very painful truth.
Right.
And like you said so eloquently, the stories allow for a kind of rewriting of history, sometimes in surprising ways.
Exactly.
He looked at me for a moment, and I found it hard to meet his gaze. Something about it felt searching, like he could see through me.
Do you think this arrangement's going to work for you?
Arrangement? You mean me being your research assistant?
Yes, basically.
Well, I have to say, it's a little unorthodox.
What part, exactly?
The hours.
Ah.
The email with a list of attached rules. I haven't been required to do handwritten notes since grade school.
Well, you're welcome to find another position. On these matters, I'm pretty inflexible.
Pretty inflexible?
Well, completely inflexible.
Part of me wanted to walk away. With anyone else whose work I admired less, it would have been an easy decision. But something about this felt potentially good. Exciting. Intense.
All right, then.
Oh, glad we could work something out. Let's have standing meetings here at 8 p.m. on Fridays, then. Starting next week. Unless you have something better to do at 8 p.m. on a Friday?
Sadly, I don't. And honestly, this is kind of an honor. I'll be excited to get started.
Kind of an honor. Well, I'm happy to have your help.
For the next few weeks, I met Nicholas, as he asked me to call him, on Friday evenings. I'd rush across campus in the falling night air. I lived for the moments when my excitement transferred to him. He'd listen to my rapid explanation of some old document, and his eyes would slowly find mine, and he'd say,
"This is amazing, Helena."
Time moved strangely in his office. Hours passed without me noticing. But by 3 a.m., Nicholas would always get this look on his face, kind of sad and guilty, but firm. "Helena, you have to go," he'd say. When I'd get back to my apartment, I'd fall into a deep sleep with the most vivid dreams of my life. They were always about Nicholas. Sometimes the dreams felt normal. We discussed the content of our research or walked together in the forest. Sometimes they were stranger. In the most recent dream, I stood in his office. The power went out. I felt him move towards me, but if it was to hurt me or to comfort me, I didn't know. In all of these dreams, there was the weirdest sensation. I felt like I'd known him for decades, like we were intimately acquainted. For the first few minutes after waking up, I couldn't figure out what was real and what wasn't. The next Friday night, I arrived at his office, knocked once. The door swung open.
Ah, Helena.
Nicholas?
He ushered me inside. A single lamp was on. I moved towards the chair I usually worked from and brushed against his bare arm by accident. His skin was slightly cool, but charged with electricity. I recoiled, surprised. His eyes met mine. And then everything went black.
Did the power just go out?
Oh, yeah, seems so. Let me get some candles.
This is insane.
Never had the lights go out?
No, I mean, this is a bizarre coincidence. I just dreamed that this happened, like, a few days ago.
You dreamed that the power went out?
It wasn't as mundane as that. We were together, in here. You kind of moved towards me.
Huh. And what did I do?
I don't really remember.
Huh. That's odd.
The candles gave the room a soft glow. I searched his face. God, he was so hard to read. I didn't think it was just in my imagination, though. He was acting weird, avoiding eye contact. I stepped in front of him as he moved to light another candle.
Did I say something?
No, not exactly.
Was it the fact that I dreamed about you?
That's part of it.
It wasn't just that one dream.
He was staring at me, full on now. Our faces were very close. The candlelight flickered against his skin.
This isn't a good idea.
Maybe I don't really care.
Helena.
But he met my lips with his as I leaned towards him. That current again. It was subtle but there, rippling out through my whole body. I felt him hesitate for a split second, almost pull back. Then he leaned towards me again and we moved towards a chaise in the corner of the room. Its velvet shifted against the backs of my thighs. I felt like I was vibrating. He smelled so good, like a rich wood of some kind. My hands wanted to roam over his body, to feel every part of him. Still, he was keeping an unmistakable distance from me, even as we slowly kissed. I leaned further into him. I traced his jaw, feeling the stubble under my fingertips. Then I moved my hand onto his arm and brought his palm against my bare leg. My skirt was riding up. I didn't try to fix it.
God, I want you.
I felt him slowly move his finger across my collarbone. The warm electrical sensation pooled there, expanded. His hand moved to the buttons on the front of my shirt, carefully opening them. My nipples throbbed. They ached for his hands to find them. He was barely brushing my skin as he unbuttoned. My shirt fell open and he looked at me. His mouth touched the round of my shoulder. Then he kissed the tops of my breasts, my arms. He closed his lips around my nipple, sucked briefly. The current surged down into my core. Suddenly, I thought I might pass out.
Oh my God.
Is it okay?
Yes. Keep going.
His mouth moved down my stomach, the buzzing sensation building and building. I pushed out the memories of my dreams. This was real. This was happening. He grazed his fingers along my thigh, slid his hand up. He was lightly brushing the edge of my underwear. I felt like I was about to lose control. The flickering pleasure was mounting, but he was barely moving his hand.
I want to feel you inside me. So badly.
Does that feel good?
Yes. Oh, it's amazing.
He pushed his palm against me, and my whole body arched towards him. I didn't understand it, but I was about to orgasm just like this, from Nicholas barely touching me. He pressed his hand against me again, then slowly released it. The current blazed, and I could feel the pressure building in me until it bubbled over. Release flooded through me.
I want more.
What do you want?
Please, let's keep going. I want to feel you. All of you.
I'm sorry, Helena. I can't.
What? We just... Was it...
No, it was good. It's just... It's not a good idea.
You mean because We're working together?
No, I'm not good for you. You have to believe me.
Why do you get to decide what's good for me? I'm a big girl, Nicholas. I can make my own choices.
I expected Nicholas to break eye contact, but he didn't. He was staring at me again, but refusing to say more. I was still coming down from the wild buzz of pleasure he'd been able to create in me with barely any effort. Now he was pulling back, no explanation. I stood up abruptly.
I'm going.
Wait, it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, no shit. That's the only time you'll meet me.
Helena,
Maybe the rumors about you were true. You're impossible.
Wait, please.
I'm leaving.